हरे कृष्ण हिंदू माता जी, दंडवत प्रणाम, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय। थैंक यू सो मच माता जी फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम एवरीबॉडी टू भक्ति संध्या जयपुर कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस कृष्ण सन प्रभु जी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन टॉपिक श्रीमद भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 21st चैप्टर 32 वर्स और वर्स। हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माई हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय। थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर वैल्युएबल एसोसिएशन एंड टाइम दिस मॉर्निंग। वी आर वेरी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव यू ऑन द कॉल टुडे प्रभु। हरे कृष्णा, प्लीज टेक ओवर द कॉल।
Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, basically to the citizens of his kingdom, text number 32. The text goes like this.
विनिरुद्धताशेष मनोमलः पुमान् असंग विज्ञान विशेष वीर्यवान् यदंग्रिमूले कृतकेतनः पुनर् न संस्मृतिं क्लेश वहां प्रपद्यते।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन अ डिवोटी टेक्स शेल्टर एट द लोटस सीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, ही इज completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of threefold miseries. Purport. As stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastak instructions, by the chanting of the holy names of Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, or by the process of hearing and chanting of glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all the dirt. Due to our material association since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our mind. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with his body and is thus entrapped by the stringent laws of material nature and put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by the practicing bhakti yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding and he is no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti or devotional service is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to understanding that one is not this body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence after quitting his body, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita 4.9. In this verse, the word vijnana is specifically important. Jnana, the knowledge of the spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to be the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.20, the revival of the spiritual realization. In the conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called jnana. After coming to the platform of jnana or the Brahma Bhuta stage, one ultimately comes to the devotional service in which he completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as vijnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of him is vijnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by the scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position of liberation is guaranteed. in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, the science of devotional service is described as pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices like karma yoga, jnana yoga and dhyana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress, but in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress in spiritual life. Just as a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship of the material world is due to prominence of passion and ignorance. By bhakti yoga, these two qualities are diminished and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by material qualities. When thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna, I'd like to welcome all of you for this session on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 21, Instructions by Putu Maharaj, and we are reading today this verse 32. Just to understand where are we in this flow of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chapter 20, the previous chapter, Maharaj Putu had darshan of the Lord, and he offered prayers to the Lord, and Lord also offered him few benedictions. And then the king, after meeting the Lord, King Prithu, he is returning to his kingdom. And in this chapter, chapter number 21, he is entering, and in the first 10 verses actually, the citizens offer warm welcome to the king because he has taken darshan of the Lord. Anyone who has seen the Lord, who has taken darshan of the Lord, is understood to have undergone a lot of purification. And similar is the case with Dhruva Maharaj as well, that after having darshan of the Lord, when he came back and when the news was there that he has pleased the Lord, along with his father, King Uttanapad, and all the citizens of the king, they were welcoming Dhruva, because and they were glorifying his fortune that he could take darshan of the Lord at such a young age. So in these first 10 verses of this chapter number 21, the citizens offer their red carpet welcome to King Prithu, and Prithu himself is the Shaktyavesh, empowered incarnation of the Lord. From verses 11 to 20, we have Maitreya describing the Prithu's rule, how it was, and his bodily features, the quality of his speech, and all the attributes of the kingly order, they were described by King Prithu in verses 11 to 20. And then from verses 21 onwards till verse number 36, King Prithu is giving few instructions to his citizens. And we are here on verse number 32. Basically, these two verses, yesterday's verse number 31 and 32, they talks about your devotional service to the Lord. So here in King Prithu, who is Lord himself, he is glorifying the process of devotion to obtain him, and basically a process by which one will never have to take birth in the material world. So if we just have a look at the yesterday's verse number 31, Yat Pada Seva Abhiruchis Tapasvinam Ashesh Janmo Pachitam Malam Diya
सद्यक्षिणोत्यन्वहम् एधति सति यथा पदाङ्गुष्ठविनिःसृता सरित् यथा पदाङ्गुष्ठविनिःसृता सरित् जस्ट् एज् रिवर् गङ्गा वेन् इट् एमिनेट्स् फ्रम् द लोटस् फीट् आफ् द लार्ड् इट् प्यूरिफैस् द एण्टैर् वर्ल्ड् सिमिलर्लि यत् पादसेवा अभिरुचिस्तपस्विनां just by having the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the lord what will happen ashesha janmopachitam malam dhiyah ashesha means unlimited lifetimes whatever we have accumulated the contamination of the material existence sadyah kshinoti all will be diminished immediately and anuham edhati sati the bhakti will increase just by having the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the lord so this is how this process of bhakti has been glorified amply in this verse number 31 and the effect of performing devotion is glorified in this today's verse number 32 that when gets freed from the contamination accumulated from millions and millions of lifetimes they will be subdued it will be cleansed up our mind will be cleansed up nirdhuta dhuta dhuta means to wash and nirdhuta means to completely wash off and we nirdhuta means the two suffixes has been added to this word dhuta ni is added first nirdhuta means completely cleansed and vinirdhuta means it's totally wiped off and again it says vinirdhuta what is being completely washed off and to what extent ashesha means unlimited we might have gathered these accumulations since millions and millions and millions of lifetimes that will be completely washed up and made to zero asanga vidyan vishesha viryavan yadangri mule krutaketana punar yadangri mule when one develops devotion to the lotus feet of the lord one's mind is totally clean and clear of all the contaminations and what is the effect of that nasam srutim kleshavaham prapadyate he don't have to again take shelter of the material energy of the lord in the form of samsruti means the cycle of birth and death the repetition of this cycle so these two verses 31 and 32 they glorify about the process of surrendering to the lotus feet of the lord and the purification of the mind and the result one obtains that is no material life again we all are well aware that our mind is basically the cause of samsruti means basically the cycle of repetition of birth and death मन एव मनुष्यस्य कारणं बन्धमोक्षयोः मन माइंड इज द कॉज ऑफ व्हाट कारणं बन्धमोक्षयोः माइंड इज द कॉज ऑफ द बॉन्डेज एंड माइंड इटसेल्फ इज द कॉज ऑफ द लिबरेशन ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी एज वेल सो इट्स माइंड हाउ कैन आई अंडरस्टैंड द सेम थिंग बीइंग द कॉज ऑफ cause of bondage and cause of liberation. Just to give an example, this room has a door. So this door can be the cause for entry into the room. And similarly, the door is the cause for exit out of the room. So through the same door we come in, through the same door we go out of the room. So similarly, it can be compared to the mind, you know, with this mind only, a living entity enters into the repeated cycle of birth and death, and with the help of mind only, the living entity can find the way out of this material existence. So mind is the cause. And how mind becomes the cause exactly, and the soul actually is the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord is explained in three verses in Bhagavad Gita chapter number 15 the verse number 7 8 and 9 it exactly tells the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and these three verses we come to know that how the soul is part of Supreme Soul that is Krishna
why it comes over here in the material world, while after coming to the material world, what exactly happens, and then how to get rid of it. So 15.7, Lord Krishna says, which is basically sambandha jnana as well. Mamaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanah manah shasthani indriyani prakruti sthani karshati. Mama eva amshah. Krishna is saying here clearly, you are my amsha. This living entity is my amsha. It belongs to me. I am the father of the living entity. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vidyam pavitra mamkara ruksamayurevacha. I am the mother, I am the father. Aham bija pradaha pita. I am the father of a living entity, and you are my part and parcel. A living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Now imagine the greatness of the Lord, wherein says the living entity belongs to me, it is mine. In the material world, when the living entity comes here and we start identifying various things as belongings to us. This is my phone, this is my table, this is my laptop, this is mine. Everything belongs to me. We might say that these things belong to me, but none of the things, they say that we belong to you. Right, these things. This table cannot say, you are mine or I am yours. I may say, this table is mine, and I keep on repeating for n number of years, but the table will never say, I am yours. Right. We might say, but the table doesn't say. But here, Lord is such a reciprocal person that in spite of we, not saying that you are my, oh my Lord, till the Lord is claiming proprietorship over us, that you belong to me. Mama eva amshah. You are my part and parcel. So this is the greatness on the part of the Lord, that he accepts us. So mama eva amshah jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. You are eternally my part and parcel. Jiva bhuta sanadana manashashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Manashashtani, mind is considered as the sixth sense. Not in a sense that of having a sixth sense. We have five senses, and the king of all of them is called as the sixth sense, that is mind. Manashashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Karshati has got two meanings. Karshati, karshan means Garshan or Garshan also means attraction. So this mind basically, along with the senses, it attracts the soul into the material world. Prakriti sthani karshati. So the mind attracts the soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna, into this prakriti and misidentifies the soul with the different identities. And different possessions and positions are given to the soul with the help of the mind. So this karshati means brings, and karshati also means the torment it feels, that garshan. When there is karshan between the two objects, there is the heat generated, and that heat we call is tritap in the material world, adhyatmik, adhi bhautik, adhi daivik. So these are the two meanings of karshan, and the mind is basically the cause. So mind gets the soul into the material world. Mind is basically a subtle covering on the soul. And this, after explaining the relationship between the Lord and the living entity in 15.7, 15.8, Krishna explains further. Shariram yada vapnoti yaccha pyutkramati swarah gruhitvaitani samyati vayur gandhani vashayat. Shariram yad avapnoti. The mind gets the soul into this material world. Then what's given to the soul is the body. Shariram yada vapnoti yaccha pyutkramati ishvarah. It becomes Ishwar. Who? The soul. Soul is called Ishwar over here. Yaccha pyutkramati ishvarah gruhitva itani samyati vayur gandha nivashayat. Vayur, gandha, ashaya. These three words are very significant in this verse. Vayu, gandha, and ashaya. Vayu means the air. Gandha means the smell, and ashaya means the pot or the source wherein the things are kept. Like we say jalashaya,
Jalashay is the ashay. Jalashay means the storehouse or the source of water. That is Jalashay. So this is Gandha Ashay. Gandha Ashay means the source of the Gandha. It means, let us say, the bottle of scent. We can, for the matter of understanding, we can say the bottle of scent is there. Vayuhu, Vayuhu means the air. Air comes, the bottle is kept over here, the Vayu comes. Vayuhu, Gandha Nivashayat. So Vayu, it accepts the scent, takes the scent and goes away, but the bottle is left there only. Similarly, the soul comes into this material world, this mind actually, it captures as the Gandha is subtle. So the Gandha means basically the mind is, the soul comes and it captures the mind, and with the help of the mind it goes into another body, and this body is left as it is. So the body is left and the mind is taken along with the soul into the next body. So the soul keep traversing into different bodies, life after life after life after life. One very important thing over here is this analogy. Though it's a very, very analogy used by Krishna, when Krishna uses analogies, they are so perfect. And many, many analogies Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita to make the point clear, to make the point understand. Various analogies. Yathadipo nivatastho nengate supamaskruta yogino yitajittasya yunjato yogomatmanah. When he wants to explain the chitta of the yogi, he gives the analogy that, you know, imagine there is absolutely in a space, there is nothing, everything is still and calm. Yathadipo nivatastho nengate yo. When the candle is there and the flame is there on the candle, and it's a kind of absolute vacuum is there, let us say, and no disturbance, as the flame on the candle will be so serene and smooth, no, without being disturbed. Similarly, the chitta of the yogi. This is one of the analogies what Lord Krishna is giving. So when Krishna gives the analogies, there is no comparison to it. So this Gandha analogy Lord is giving, that the air comes, takes the Gandha, goes away, the ashay, the storehouse remains there only. Similarly, the soul comes, the soul is there. The soul comes in a sense that the soul, along with the mind, it goes into another body, and the old body, it dies. Here, in this analogy, the Vayu actually is the effect of the ether. We have these five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So the Vayu is the effect of ether, and Gandha is effect of earth. Through earth, we get Gandha. So actually here, when the Vayu comes, this Vayu don't have a freedom to choose Gandha. Whatever comes in the way, it carries away. But here in the analogy, Jivatma has the choice what to choose and where to go, what kind of association to choose and what kind of mode we choose. If we choose the mode of goodness, we will go in the upward direction. 14th chapter, Krishna says, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhe tishtanti rajasah jaganya guna vrittistha adho gacchanti tamasah. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, one can rise above. Madhe tishtanti rajasah. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they will be situated there itself. Adho gacchanti tamasah. Those who are situated in the mode of ignorance, they will glide down into another lower forms of life, maybe lower planetary system or the lower forms of life. So the choice is there, left to the soul. The freedom is there. And so in this 15.8, the process of transmigration is explained by the Lord, the Samsruti, the chakra which we discussed.
and the cause behind it, the mind. And in the 15.9, Srutram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Grahanameva Cha Adhisthaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. Amalgamation of all the senses. Srutram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Grahanameva Cha Adhisthaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. All these senses, amalgamation of all these senses, Adhisthaya Manaschayam, they need an Adhisthana. And that Adhisthana is mind, the place where it's done, that is mind. And through the mind, actually, then the action starts. Without mind, the senses cannot enjoy only. Because it's the storehouse of the all its impressions, previous sanskaras, thinking, feeling, willing, they are the functions of the mind. And without that, nothing can happen. Adhisthaya manaschayam vishayan upasevati. Vishay means the sense objects. The senses engages in the sense objects with the help of the mind. Vishay sevan means the more we indulge in the process of sense gratification, the more our attachment for them increases, and that is the cause of birth and death. And now, this vishay, actually, all these sense objects, all these vishayas, they belong to prakriti, material nature. None of the objects are spiritual. And they don't have a spiritual potency. All the sense gratifying objects, they belong to prakriti, and the soul, it belongs to Krishna. So material sense objects belong to the material world, the soul belongs to Krishna. Now can they enjoy, can the soul get some happiness just by the senses coming in contact with the sense objects? It's like I am hungry, and there is food items kept in front of me, and there is roti, and then some sabji. So someone makes the roll, sabji is wrapped around in the roti, and it is tied to my back with the rope. And if it's tied, will my hunger be quenched? It is tied on my back. Someone says, are you a fool to do that, to cling the roti on your backside? You need to feed it into the stomach through your mouth. So it's the same thing, that trying to enjoy the sense objects in the material world and trying to satisfy the thirst of the soul through that, it's like becoming mad, crazy. That is pagalpan or foolishness. So it's never possible, never had been possible, it's not possible, it will never be possible. It cannot be made possible. Why? Because the soul is of different nature and the material world is of different nature. The soul can, they are incompatible, just like a fish when it's taken out of the water. When the fish is taken out of the water, and you no matter try to give him any number of vishaya. For eyes, you give some beautiful things to see, for ears, a beautiful music to hear, and beautiful foodstuff to eat, the fish can never be happy. The fish, the basic need of the fish will be taken back to the water, and then only the fish will be happy. Similarly, the soul, when it's taken back to Krishna, then only there can be some satisfaction and happiness. Otherwise, there is no question of happiness for the soul. Harir Hisakshat Bhagavat Sharirinam Atma Dashanam Ivato Yamipsitam Hari. Just like for the fish, the basic need is of water, similarly, for the soul, the basic need is of Hari. Harir Hisakshat Bhagavat Sharirinam Atma Dashanam Ivato Yamipsitam. This fifth canto verse, which talks about this analogy, that for a fish, the need to be happy is water. Similarly, for the soul to be happy, the need is Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So when the soul returns back to the world, then only this sansruti can be engaged.
when we come here into the material world and we live here and try to enjoy, there are two shaktis we possess. Now this is a very interesting concept. We have two shaktis in us. One is called as prana shakti, means our breathing continues and we have the prana within us. Once the prana is gone, the body, the person is called as dead. Gata prana means the prana has left the body. There is no prana left. It's just a body now. Just like when a doctor says that please take the patient in for the operation, and when the person is in, the person, the doctor performs the operation, and somehow he is unable to save the life of the patient, and he says, take the body out. Now, you look at the vocabulary. When the doctor is saying, take the patient in, and now he's saying, take the body out. So the patient has turned into a body because the prana has gone. So this is prana, basically. The prana is the energy which comes from the consciousness, the existence of the soul. This is our prana shakti. Because of the prana only we can speak. Because of the prana only we are able to function. There are five types of prana. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, saman in our body. And the different locations they are situated. Some prana is here, some prana is prana. And apana, vayu, helps us excrete some of the unwanted things in our body. So this prana shakti, basically the life shakti. And the second shakti which we have got is ichha shakti. Ichha shakti means to desire something, to want something, to do something. That is ichha shakti. So we possess these two potencies. The Lord is master of parasya shaktir vividaiva shuryate. Lord is master of n number of potencies. We, as a tiny master, we are the master of these two potencies. What are these two? Prana shakti and ichha shakti. Now, as our age progresses, when we move towards death, our prana is becoming weak and weak and weak and weak. So the prana becomes weaker as the number of days passes and we move close to death. So the prana shakti is becoming weaker. And ichha shakti means our desires, actually they become strong. Now, when prana shakti ends, means the person has died, but ichha shakti still remains alive, then what will happen? Then the soul is taken back and the new prana will be given to him. It means the new life to continue with those ichha shakti. Whatever ichha shakti he had, it continues with that ichha shakti. And continues further in, until there is prana. Vasanti jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnati naro parani tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. In Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna is very fantastically giving this analogy again. As I said, Krishna's analogies are very fantastic. As we give up our old clothes when they are worn out and we accept the new ones, similarly, the soul, when the prana shakti is gone, it gives up the body and accepts the new prana, that is the new body, and tries to enjoy. Adhisthaya manaschayam vishayan upasevate, tries to enjoy different sense gratificatory objects through that prana shakti. So, this is one situation I told you. The prana shakti has exhausted, but ichha shakti is remaining. And that ichha shakti gives birth to another prana shakti, that is another body, and the samsruti continues. Now, I'm presenting you the second situation. The second situation is that the prana shakti is still existing, but ichha shakti is end now. Ichha shakti has ended. There are no more material desires in the heart of a person. The mind has been purified. We will see how to purify the mind. The mind of the person has been purified. The ichha shakti is totally gone. The prana shakti still remains. When the ichha shakti is not there, but the prana shakti is there. Ichha shakti is not there, but the prana shakti is there. Then that person is called as jivan muktah sa uchyate. Iha yasya hariyardasya karmana manasagira. निखिलाश्वप्यवस्थासु जीवन मुक्तः स उच्यते. What is जीवन मुक्त? In one sentence we can say जीवन मुक्त means प्राण शक्ति is still there. जीवन, जीवन is life, that is प्राण, it's still there, but the इच्छा शक्ति is now no more there, no more material desires. So whatever प्राण शक्ति we have, we don't know how much प्राण शक्ति we have and for how many years we are going to live, but whatever प्राण शक्ति we have, the project should be to end इच्छा शक्ति. Therefore Srila Prabhupada, he used to give this common example. He used to say that even if you have a desire to eat one gulab jam, then to fulfill that you will have to take next birth. Next birth is awaiting. As many number of desires we keep generating in our heart and trying to fulfill all those material desires, then those many births are awaiting in future for us. So therefore, as long as we have this prana shakti, that long we need to, all our efforts should be directed to end this ichha shakti, material desires. No material desires. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says in the Paripat. Vairagya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach that Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, Shiksha Artham Eka Purusha Purana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Lord Chaitanya appeared for this. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Mahaprabhu Bhaktavane, Vairagya Pradhan. That is Vairagya. Vairagya means basically, Vairagya doesn't mean the change of dress or anything. Vairagya means a change of consciousness that no material desires and only spiritual desires. That is Vairagya actually. So I mentioned two situations in regards to these two shaktis. I'll repeat, prana shakti and ichha shakti. These are the two potencies we have. We have the prana shakti and ichha shakti. Prana shakti is our life potency, life shakti. Ichha shakti is our ability to have desires, material desires basically. So when the prana shakti is gone, ichha shakti is still living, then to fulfill, there is another prana shakti given to him. That is another body, samsruti, samsmruti, ghore, it continues. And when prana shakti is still there, but the ichha shakti vanishes, then that person is called as jivan mukta. Sa uchyate, that person is jivan mukta. Then whatever he has, karmana, manasa, vacha, everything he has, he uses only for the service of the Lord. Ihayasya Hariyardasya Karmana Manasa Gira. Karmana, by his activities, Manasa is mind, Gira means his vacha, the ability to speak. Everything is used for Ihayasya Hariyardasya, is used only for the sake of Hari. And as we saw that Harir hi sakshat bhagvat shariranam atma dashanam yam ipsitam, for the soul there is a damn need of Hari. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, always used to say that in this world, these days, everything is amply available, abundantly available. There is lack of only one thing, that is Hari, Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan. The Hari is lacking. The Hari element is not there because everyone is Hari, H-U-R-R-Y. Because H-A-R-I, Hari is not there. And therefore people are dissatisfied. Though having lot of possessions and having many positions in their name, but still that dissatisfaction. And the social, if you take the X-ray of the society, the number of suicides, the crime rates and the prison population, depressions and all those addictions, the increasing alarming rate, it clearly says that we are incompatible for this material world. And till the point we have this prana shakti, it should be utilized only for the sake of eradicating this material desires, ichha shakti. And therefore Lord Krishna says in 6th chapter only, he gives us a solution that, my dear friend, why are you struggling over here in the material world? Rise above. Uddhareda atmana atmanam natmanam avasadayet. Atmaimhaya Atmano Bandhuratmai Varipuratmanaha. Uddharet, liberate yourself with the help of the mind and do not degrade yourself. Mind can be your friend and mind can be as your enemy as well. Therefore, we need to control the mind. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jitaha anatmastu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatru. At 6.6, Krishna says this. The mind, when the mind is controlled, it's your best friend, and when the mind is uncontrolled, it's your worst enemy.
The same person becoming your friend and same person can become your enemy. And just at the start of the class, I give the example of a door. The same door allows you to go in and the same door allows you to go out. So how you utilize the same knife in the hand of a doctor, it can save the life when it's used for a proper cause by a surgeon. But the same knife, when it goes into the hand of a burglar, can take a life. So similarly, a knife is neither good nor bad. Similarly, the mind is, we can't say it's good, we can't say it's bad. It depends on how you utilize the mind. Maneva manushyasya karanam bandha mokshayoho. It's the cause of bondage as well as cause of liberation. When it's controlled, it's your friend. When it's uncontrolled, it's your enemy. So it's up to us what we choose. Just like we have a body. Again, the analogy can be given is that of a computer, hardware and a software. The computer has a hardware and the computer within it has a software. So similarly, we have this hardware which can be compared to the body, and the mind and the subtle body can be compared to the software in the body. So even if the hardware is not that up to date, the software needs to be very clean and without virus. So similarly, we need the mind which is very pure and connected to the Lord to go back home, back to Godhead. To end this samsara chakra, we need to train our mind always, and that mind can be trained, and that training process is bhakti process, the sadhana bhakti. That's what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport as well. He elaborately mentioned that, you know, this sadhana bhakti, the process of bhakti, and through other paths, the contamination cannot be purely eradicated. Just like, you know, different things needs different purifying agents. If I want to mop the floor, then I will use some detergent mixed with water, and then I will mop the floor. Now, if I want to clean the keyboard of my computer, I won't use the same detergent and the same cloth. And there is a different detergent and a different cloth comes, right, to clean the computer. Now, if I want to clean my specs, there is again altogether different detergent and a different cloth comes, which is very super fine. The same cloth which is used for cleansing of the specs cannot be used to cleanse and mop the floor of the room. So different cleansing agents are required to different objects. Kalena snana shauchabhyam samskara itapasejaya shuddhyantidane santushtya dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, Krishna, it's being mentioned. Different objects are purified by different things. Kalena, snana, shauchabhyam. Just like our body is purified by water. Similarly, the mind, we are talking about the purification of the mind, how it can be purified. So the mind can be purified by, it says, our santushtya. By satisfaction, our mind becomes pure. And how the soul is purified? Atma, atmatma vidyaya. The atma, the soul is purified by the knowledge. Adhyatmic knowledge. Knowledge based on Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge based on scriptures. Like Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, when we hear regularly, what we are doing actually, we are bathing our soul. It's getting clear. It's becoming purer and purer day by day. We might not recognize it. But still, there is an evidence, there is proof for this, that we have been practicing bhakti since Srila Prabhupada says, Pratyaksha Avagamam. Srila Prabhupada quotes this in the purport. Today's verse, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 9.2. Rajvidya Rajuguyam Pavitramida Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumam. Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam, it means we can experience that, yes, before coming to bhakti, I had so many material desires and I had these attachments and I used to like this thing, but now my choices are different. I no longer consume onion garlic, I no longer watch movies which are materialistic, and I no longer associate with
kind of material association. So our choices have changed. Our lives have totally changed, right? Our clothing have changed. Our choices have changed. Our disposition, our position, everything in regards to our life, even our consciousness to some extent has been purified. And that is the strength of the devotional service. That is what this verse talks about today. It says, Vishesha Viryavan, Viryavan Srila Prabhupada translated, the power of bhakti. When endowed with the power of bhakti, the person can actually purify the existence of the soul. Our food choices have been changed. We eat prasadam now, ahara shuddha, sattva shuddhi, dhruva smritihi, smriti rabdha, sarva granthina, vipramokshaha. We are just changing one item, that is ahara. It's transformed into prasad and see, moksha, moksha, sarva granthina, moksha. The same food we consume, it takes us towards liberation. That's how the potency. So the purification process has already started. So the mind is purified by satisfaction and the soul is purified by Atma Vidya, the knowledge pertaining to the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, when we talk about the mind being caused and to tame the mind, to tame the body, we have this bodily austerity is also three kinds. Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, Krishna talks about this 14, 15, 16 verses. He talks about three kinds of austerity: austerity of the body, austerity of the mind, and austerity of the speech. So what is austerity of the mind? He says in 16th verse of Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, Manah prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava sanshuddhiritteta tapo manasa uchyate. The first attribute, the first item of the austerity of the mind, Krishna says, Manah prasada, satisfied mind. When one mind of the person is satisfied, then that person becomes happy. Sada santushta manasaha sarva sukamaya disha sharkara kantaka dibhyo yathopanat padah shivam. Just as when I'm walking on the street barefoot and there are thorns, there are pebbles on the street, and my foot may get affected. What is the solution? If I just wear a shoe, then all the problems are gone. Just wear a shoe and you no longer suffer the thorns and the pebbles being pranked by them. Similarly, when a person wears the shoe of satisfaction, this Krishna is talking to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, when is satisfied within, when the mind attribute, the mind is satisfied, manah prasadaha, sada santushta manasaha, when the mind is santushta, satisfied, and when we wear that shoe of satisfaction to the mind, sarva sukkamaya dishaha, all the directions wherever you go, you will find happiness. That is what is being said. Twice this verse repeats in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is about the purification of the mind. And Krishna also stresses at many places in Bhagavad Gita about engaging the mind in Him. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Manmana, two places, same thing is repeated, you know. Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, 34th verse, and again in the 18th chapter, 63-64 verses, the same thing is reiterated. Imagine Krishna didn't have time to talk much because on the battlefield, the conscience were blown in the first chapter only. And Krishna started speaking exactly the knowledge from the second chapter. This is going on. So there are only few things which Krishna might repeat, which carries a lot of weightage for Arjuna to discern. And this verse actually repeat twice in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. So Manmana means engage your mind in me. Mai asakta manaha partha yogam yunjan madashraya. Mai asakta manaha, attach your mind in me. In 7th chapter, Krishna says, again, Mayyeva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivashityasi mayyeva ataurdhvam nasamshayaha. In 12.8 Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Mayyeva mana adhatsva. Engage your mind and intelligence in me, my dear Arjuna. And that is what that's how the great devotees are also engaged. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah. Mahatma is defined by is that person who has taken shelter of the divine energy of the Lord through the mind. And when Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Maharaj Ambarish in the 9th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, and how he has engaged all his senses in the devotional service of the Lord, the first attribute he mentions about the mind, where it is engaged. Savai manaha krishna padaravindayor vacham sivaikuntha gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu shrutim chakara chutasat kathodaye. All the senses, how he has engaged in the service of the Lord. 9th canto 4th chapter Srimad Bhagavatam, the 3 verses talks about the engagement of the senses of Ambarish Maharaj in various devotional aspects. And the first, it begins with Savai manaha krishna padaravindayo. The mind is engaged on meditating the lotus feet of the Lord. So when we engage our mind in the lotus feet of the Lord, that is what is being talked about in this verse yesterday and today. Yat pada seva viruchista pasvinam ashesha janmo pachitam malam dhiyaha. When mind is engaged in the service of the Lord, and this is also what is today, and tomorrow also, to some extent, it will again repeat. Yadangri mule krutake tanahapuna. Yadangri mule, and the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, when the mind, because senses, they need some object. Mana, as we saw, the soul takes the mind, and through the senses, try to enjoy the vishaya. Mana adhishtaya vishayan upasevate, upasevate. It serves actually the sense objects actually. We may think that I am enjoying the sense objects, but you become servant of the senses. Upasevati. Sevati means to do service. So that is how. And even therefore, when the Lord is standing in front of Nalukuvir and Manigreeva, when they were delivered from the bodies of the trees. 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, deliverance of Nalukuvir and Manigreeva. The Lord is there, Nalukuvir and Manigreeva about to depart from the Lord, and they offer their prayers, my dear Lord. What we want from you? Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastau chakarmasu manas tavapadayornaha. Vani gunanu kathane. Let our vani be used in glorifying you. Shravanau kathayam. Let our ears be used to pour down the nectarian Krishna katha into these cups. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastau chakarmasu. Let our hands be engaged in your service, your activities. Hastav chattat karmasu manas tavapadayornaha. Our mind should be absorbed on your lotus feet. And therefore the mind of a sadhaka is compared to a bee. And therefore Krishna's lotus feet, they are called as lotus. So the lotus, the bumblebee is always attracted to the lotus. So the lotus leaf and our mind is like that. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja vanjarantam adyaiva me vishatu manasarajaham saha prana prayana samaye kaphavata pittai kanthavaro dhanavidho smaranam kutasthi. This was one of the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. From Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulushekar pays this. No, Kapavata Pitta, at the time of death, I don't know whether I'll be able to remember you, my Lord. But now, when Manasaraja Hamsaha, now my mind, when it is attracted to the lotus feet of yours, at this moment, I wish to give up my body. And Srila Prabhupada, many times he used to sing these words, sung by King Kulushekar, that my mind now, it is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, the best process to purify the mind and to end the samsruti is to engage basically our mind fully, meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, and to always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna, which is the essence of all the religious and Vedic principles. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu, vismartavyam najatuchit. sarvavidhi nishedhasyur etayo eva kinkarah. All rules and regulations are servant of this one particular rule. What is that? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Always remember the Lord. Vismartavyam najatuchit. Never forget the Lord. All regulatory principles are just servant of these two principles. And therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami also, while glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how a kind of merciful incarnation he is, and our mind, by being in the association with matter, has become kumana. Our mind is mana. In Sanskrit, it's called as mana. It has become kumana, the bad mind, because of the bad association. What is the way out to make this kuman into suman? Su means good. Suman, the mind which is kuman, the bad mind, how to make it into a good mind? Suman. And the formula he gives, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Adi Leela, while glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kumana sumanastvam hi yatiyasya padabjayo sumana arpana matrena tam chaitanya prabhum bhaje. I worship that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Kumanah sumanastvam hi yatiyasya padabjayo. When the lotus feet of the Lord are meditated upon, and when, then what happens? Kumanah sumanastvam hi. Kuman becomes suman. Our bad mind becomes our good mind. Our material mind becomes our spiritual mind. Kumanah sumanastvam hi yatiyasya padabjayo. And what is to be done? Sumana arpana matrena. Just by offering a suman to the Lord. Now this suman has another meaning, which is called as flower. Flower in Sanskrit is also called as suman. Sumana arpana matrena tam chaitanya prabhum bhaje. When I just offer a flower to the lotus feet of the Lord, my kuman becomes suman. So just by offering a suman, a flower, our kuman becomes suman. Our bad mind becomes a good mind. And when the mind becomes good, it becomes your friend. And Krishna has said that when the mind is friend, then Samsurti Chakra ends. And we march forward in our journey towards back home, back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments to be shared?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful. Very nice class. Very nicely you explained everything. Thank you. Hare Krishna. We have to make our kuman into suman. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Many pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Now, Prabhu, I have one question.
Yes, Madhavi.
Prabhu, you are telling that Manmana Madhvato is in the two chapters. Is the same, complete same verse?
We call it Purvardha and Uttarardha. Purvardha means the Bhagavad Gita is in Anushtup Chanda. You might have seen two lines, right? So, the Anushtup Chanda has got 32 letters in it. So, first 16 and then latter 16. The first 16 is called as Purvardha. Second 16 is called as Uttarardha. So, in these verses, when I said it is repeating, it is Purvardha that is being repeating. Manmana Bhumad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. This is the repetition. Manmana Bhumad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Mame Vaishyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Piyo Sume. And Manmana Bhumad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Mame
Vaishyasi Yukta Vairam.
Atmanam mat parayanaha. So, yes, it repeats twice in Bhagavad Gita.
That was very nice to know, Prabhu. Prabhu, I have one more question. Can you explain that analogy again about the mind, the scent bottle, the Gandha, and the mind attracting? That was a little confusing, and actually
yeah,
today's class is so technical. It's very interesting. Again, I have to go back and hear everything, but just if you can explain in few again.
Yeah, the analogy is very good. As I said, the Krishna has explained this analogy. Shrutram chakshuh sparshanam charasanam grahanam eva cha adishthayam anashchayam vishyan upasevati. And before that he says, शरीरं यद् अवाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतिश्वरः गृहीत्वैतानि संयाति वायुर्गन्धानि वाशयात्. थ्री वर्ड्स् आर् इम्पोर्टेण्ट्: वायु, गन्ध एण्ड् आशय. वायु मीन्स् द एयर्, गन्ध इस् सेण्ट्, एण्ड् आशय, आशय इस् द स्टोर् हौस्. यु गेट् द आशय, आशय वि से जलाशय. Jalashay means the storehouse of water, the source of water. So when you say Gandhashay, means all the scent that is stored over here. When the wind is blowing over it, over the ashay of the Gandha, then it takes the Gandha, actually, aroma, and it moves ahead. The bottle still lies at the same place, right? Some portion of the Gandha goes with the air, and the bottle still lies there. And the person sitting on that end might smell a scented air. He might breathe the scented air in. And now the air is there. The jalashay is the gandhashay. The storehouse of gandha is there. The gandha is there, and the vayu is there. The three things. Now similarly, the vayu is compared to the soul. So the soul actually takes the gandha. That means the subtle body. The subtle body is taken, and the soul moves into the another body, and this ashaya, it means the storehouse, now where the mind was located initially in this body. So the soul, it takes shelter of the mind, and it goes ahead into the next body. So the subtle body carries the soul into the next body, giving up the old ashaya, that is the old body. So the old body is left behind, and the subtle body carries the soul into the next body. Just as the air carries the aroma and not the bottle with it. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much for repeating again. Thank you, Prabhu. Very beautiful class with nice analogies, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very technical class. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. The class was simply very, very, very beautiful. I just wanted to second what everyone else said. I don't have any questions. But it was very nice to watch you on the video and listen to you. It was a very beautiful experience. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yes, thank you for this class. I have a few questions about the mind. one is, you said that the, you know, like it says in that Gita verse, you know, the austerity. The austerity of the mind, I think you said, is satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we think of austerity, we don't usually think of satisfaction. We think of, you know, distress. So can you elaborate on what is meant by satisfying the mind, especially since we, or many of us have, let's say, kami minds. You know, our minds feel like it's satisfied by material sense enjoyment. So can you just elaborate on what is meant by satisfying the mind as an austerity?
It is not satisfying the mind. It is being satisfied, I mentioned. Being satisfied means whatever state of condition I am in right now, whatever I have, so satisfaction,
be happy with that.
Being happy with that, satisfaction is not only the emotion, it's the decision which we can take. Because someone might possess 1 crore rupees and not feel satisfaction by that, and someone having just 1 lakh rupees with him and being content, basically. To be content with what you have, that is satisfaction, and that is the austerity of the mind. Not to satisfy the desires of the mind, but being satisfied, that is the austerity.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I just needed confirmation. Then another question about the mind. Thank you for that. Another question about the mind is, you also said earlier, let me see. Oh, you were talking about how to purify the mind you know, there, it was in a part of the discussion where you said you were explaining to, that we should purify the mind and we should purify the soul.
Yeah.
So what did you say was the process? I missed that. What was the process you said for purifying the mind?
Generally, when we say that we need purification, we understand it, the purification at a subtle level. Basically, our existence is three level existence we have, at the level of body, at the level of mind, and at the level of soul. So when you have our existence at three levels, so basically they can be also called as existence at two levels. Two levels means one is material level and another is spiritual level. So the mind, the soul is actually spiritual level, the body is material level, the mind is in between. So the mind can be either in the material level or in the spiritual level. Now, when we say that when mind and soul they are considered together as a subtle thing, then the process can be only one. We say that chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Srila Prabhupada begins the purport to today's verse. He says Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he fully writes it and then says the we have to purify our existence. So when we say purifying our existence, then we consider mind and soul to be together because they are subtle. So there is gross and there is subtle. So body is gross, mind and soul, they are subtle. So in that sense, mind and soul can be clubbed together. But in mind and soul itself, when we need to divide, that mind ultimately is also material actually. Though it's subtle, it's still material. So when we consider that as the criteria of separation between the mind and the soul, and then this 10th canto, 5th verse, 5th chapter of this 4th verse actually, Kalena Snana Shauchabhyam, which I quoted, that land becomes pure. Prabhupada translate this verse. Land becomes purified just by the passage of time. Snana, our body is purified by the process of Snana, Shauchabhyam. Samskara, our existence is purified by samskara, and similarly the mind, he says, is purified by santushta, satisfaction, and the soul is purified by atma vidyaya. That is atma vidya, he said. Atma vidya means the knowledge of the soul. So the soul is purified by the knowledge of the soul, and then the mind is purified by satisfaction. So these two are used separately in this verse. Now, as I mentioned earlier as well, this can be considered separate entities as when the classification is at a different level. But when the classification is just between gross and subtle, then the process can be given only one. By when I chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, my mind is also purified and my soul is also getting purified because soul is entrapped in the subtle body only, mind. So therefore, mantra, when we say mantra, the definition itself is manana trayate iti mantra. The deliverer of the mind is called as mantra. So when we chant any mantra, that is associated with the mind only. And when the mind is pure, we can say the soul automatically is pure. So both these things can be said about the mind and the soul purification.
You know, one thing I was a little surprised to hear that knowledge of the soul is purifying, because, you know, a person can gain so much knowledge about the soul, right? But unless they apply that knowledge, then they'll be stuck in the same place, you know?
Yeah.
So when you say the knowledge purifies the soul, don't we really mean that it's the application of knowledge that purifies the soul, not just acquiring knowledge?
Yeah, not just the knowledge. True. Like just when there is an exam and I acquire a lot of knowledge, but unless I appear for the exam, what is the proof of that knowledge? So that I have to give an exam.
Yeah.
So similarly, the application of the knowledge, that is a test. So knowledge means application only. It's not just information gathering.
Yeah,
it's applied. Applied information is knowledge.
Thank you. Just one last question about the mind and how it relates to the senses. It's kind of difficult for me to form the question, but, you know, we say that the mind is the seat of the senses, right? So That means, I think that means that the senses, or does it mean that the senses cannot act unless it is specifically given instruction by the mind to act? And if that is true, then I'm just wondering a little bit about, let's say, very impulsive actions by the senses, you know, where it doesn't seem as though, you know, there was any time for the mind to give, you know, let's say, you know, something drops and makes a loud noise and I instinctively turn my attention there because my ears, you know, seem like, you know, in such, like, say, instinctive or impulsive actions, is it that the mind is still giving the direction? Is it just that it's happening so quickly? Or is it something else? So basically, I think that's my question. Is when we say that the mind is the center of the senses or the seat of the senses, does that mean that the mind is always the one who directs the senses about how to engage with a sense object?
Yeah, basically, what you said is true. Mind is the, it's also called as the seat of the senses, also called as the king of the senses. It's also the sixth sense, as mentioned. Manaha shastani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Lord Krishna says this. So, yeah, it is the mind only which gives, through which senses function. Senses, they don't have any
independent.
What we can say, any tendency to work independent of the mind. Let us say there is some sweet ball in front of you. Let us say gulab jam. There is some sweet in front of you, and your tongue will be able to taste it. And but as soon as it comes in front of you, let us say you like it and you immediately gulp it. But actually, you might say that my hand is which is the working sense, and my tongue which is the knowledge acquiring sense, and my eyes, they have seen it and they only are functioning. But actually in your mind there are previous impressions of eating the gulab jam previously, that yes, it tastes sweet and I have a memory of sweet gulab jam. So that memory actually, and now in even in there is not a notion of, you know, I'm putting some switch over here and then the cause and effect, you know, the effect is there and the cause is happening. So it's not like that. It's so subtle and it's so super fine. You know, as I say, the moment you close your eyes and your mind can fly to from one country to another country, right?
Yes.
The moment you close your eyes and you imagine yourself to be in India, so you can imagine that at your place. So mind is so fast, swifter than the wind.
Yeah.
And Krishna said that, Arjuna said that, you know, chanchalam himanah Krishna pramati balavadrinam tasya aham nigraham manne vayor eva subishkram. I can control the wind but cannot control the mind because of its flickering nature. So the mind is so fast. Tadgate na manasa. Even if one goes at the speed of the mind, one cannot conquer the Lord. So speed of the mind is very fast. So whenever the sanctions also instinctively, even if there is an action, instinctive action, still there is a mind behind the action of the senses. We need to understand that. And it's so fast, we can't even make it out. And therefore, when I'm saying no, even though I like the gulab jam, but I have a diabetes and I have to say no, then also I need the help of the mind. Which will direct the senses to not consume. So it's the power of the mind actually. So it plays a major role in controlling the senses as well.
Yeah, but you know, you just been saying that the mind works so fast, that's why we can even have these like instinctive reactions, right? But at the same time you said it's not like, you know, and there's no independent agency of the senses. But at the same time you said that it's not like there's a switch, you know. Says okay, the mind says okay, now the sense of, I think that part I didn't understand when you said it's not like there's a switch, you know, because the mind gives permission, the mind gives direction. For me, you know, when you say the mind gives direction, that's like a switch that says okay, Now the mind is instruction to the sense of hearing to engage, or the sense of sight to engage. When you say this, it's not like there's a switch. I don't know, can you explain that?
No, it's not a switch, means in the sense of speed I mentioned. That's, you said that there's the instinct, things are happening instantly, instinctively.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Basically, but still the mind is involved. That is the point I'm making. And therefore, they say, you know, the power of pause. When like we say, let us say I'm angry. And when I'm angry, then my senses can act, and that anger will be directed towards the cause of the anger. When some person has spoken ill words, I'll immediately slap that fellow. Now that slapping action is though appearing to be happening instinctively, but there is a mind which is directing the hand. And I have a power to choose to not to react, but to respond properly. I can take a pause. And I can think, and then I can act. And therefore, there is a saying, you know, look before you leap. That look is basically the pause button, which is for the mind. And when the mind is paused, the senses can be paused.
Okay, so when you say that, you know, it's not like there's a switch, that you are referring to when we act instinctively. When we act instinctively, it's like there's no switch.
No switch. There is no switch. Okay, thank you. Thank you all very much. Now it's the time to pass. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you
Hare
so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Very, very amazing class, Prabhuji. Very beautiful. Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you. And also, I want to say, Prabhuji has written a book named Get Set Go. It's a very beautiful book. All the students basically should read, and all of us should read. It's very nice. Thank you so much. I have a few copies of the book. If anybody wants, they can contact me.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you once again. Let us all offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa Tarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitana Pavanipyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindhi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Krishna Dan Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.